It's series 14 of our media cast. Stay tuned for the last 10 minutes where we overview our current, future, and past series. This one is on Euro 2024 qualifying. We're looking at Group A, Spain, Scotland, Norway, Georgia, and Cyprus. Here we go. It's the International Soccer Preview by Soccer Files Canada. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Connor. And today we are looking at Group A for Euro 2024 qualifying. This group includes Spain, Scotland, Norway, Georgia, and Cyprus.
Yeah, and we usually give some information about the media cast at the beginning, but in this series, we want to jump straight in. So stay tuned at the end for information about some series we've done, especially ones that are still relevant, like the 2024 African Cup qualifying.
That's right. But this series features a deep dive into the history of Euro Cup qualifying for each of these teams. So we'll cover the usual information.
Yeah, let's look at the three sections that we're going to cover in this media cast. So part one, we'll introduce the teams in the group. And then part two, we'll look at the history of the groups with that deep dive into the Euro Cup qualifying history. And part three will be a summary and comparison of the teams through their rankings and the odds of them winning the group. And we're going to end with a discussion of their prospects and our predictions.
All right. So before we begin, tell me something that'll get me excited for Group A.
Okay. Well, here's what I noticed in writing it up. Here's the hook. I'm going to say differing directions of recent form or momentum could upset expectations in this group. Are you intrigued?
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that some of the teams in this group, especially the ones in the middle, it'll really come down to the form they have coming into the thing. So they may be stronger or weaker than we'll see in the history in their usual form.
All right. Well, let's jump into it.
All right. Okay. Well, part one begins with an overview of the teams and countries. So Connor is going to tell us a bit about each country.
All right, so we'll start with Spain. Their team's nicknamed La Roja, or the Reds. They're the second largest country in Western Europe, behind France. And Spain occupies most of the Iberian Peninsula in southwestern Europe. And Spain has a population of 47.5 million people.
Yeah, we have a graphic on the YouTube version, but it's not really necessary. Let's move on to Scotland.
All right, Scotland. They're known as a tartan army, or at least their fans are. They're a country of 5.5 million people. They're a member of the United Kingdom, making up the northern part of the island of Great Britain.
Okay, third we have Norway.
Norway, nicknamed the Lions. They have a population of 5.4 million, so just a shade under that of Scotland. And they're the most northerly country in mainland Europe, excluding Russia. Norway's a long, skinny country that occupies the western part of Scandinavia.
Okay, and fourth team is Georgia.
Georgia, known as the Crusaders. They're a small country that borders the Black Sea. They're south of Russia and north of Turkey, bordering both. And they have a population of 3.7 million people.
Okay, and finally, Cyprus.
Cyprus, known as the White and Blues. They have a population of 1.2 million people, so the smallest country in this group. And they're a small island nation at the far eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, south of Turkey and west of Syria.
All right. Well, you've given out a lot of information there, so we're going to do a little comparison just to compare the size of each country here.
Yeah, and the size actually goes with their pot order. Spain is the largest country, though. Like I said, 47.5 million people, dwarfs kind of the other four, which all are around 5 or 5.5 million or less.
Right, okay. That was more of a summary than I expected. Let's move on to the history part of the of the podcast, and we're going to begin with the participation and achievements. So Spain played their first international game in 1920, but they didn't enter the first World Cup in 1930. They also didn't enter in 1938 due to civil war in their country. They have participated consistently otherwise. Their first Euro Cup was their only non-completion of the tournament. In terms of achievement, their only real successes before their 2008 Euro Cup win came in the early years of both Cups. They finished fourth in the World Cup in 1950, and they won the Euro Cup in 1964 when they hosted. Well, their claim to fame, though, was a dominant period, a dynasty, given that the team didn't change much, from 2008 to 2012, where they won three tournaments in a row. That was the 2008 and 2012 Euro Cups, along with the 2010 World Cup, a feat that no other team has achieved. All right, let's take a look at the World Cup in overview.
Sure. So as we mentioned, Spain did not enter two of the first three cups. They reached the quarterfinals in the one they participated in, which was in Italy in 1934. After World War II, they looked a strong team, taking fourth place in Brazil in 1950. However, they were poor after that, missing the next two cups. Indeed, they missed four of the next seven cups from 1954 to 1978 and were knocked out in the group stage of the other three. Only from 1982, when they hosted, did they become a strong team, not only qualifying for every tournament, but usually passing the group stage. Only in 1988 and 2014 did they fail to do so. The second of these was a lapse after winning the previous World Cup. Ironically, that lapse in 2014 was in Brazil, where they had enjoyed the biggest success of their early years. They have finished at the round of 16 and the two cups following.
All right, let's move on to the Euro Cup overview. Do you want to take us through that one too?
Sure. So in the Euro Cup, they were disqualified in 1960 after refusing to travel to USSR for a qualifying game, but won as host in 1964, ironically beating USSR in the final. They failed to reach three cups after that, matching their indifferent World Cup record in this period. From 1980, they reached all tournaments except for 1992. Second place in 1984 was good, but was surrounded by two knockouts at the group stage and two non-qualifications beyond that. From 1996, though, they reached beyond the group stage every time except for 2004. That lapse, however, was followed by two titles in 2008 and 2012, with their World Cup win in 2010 making a dynasty generation. Following the crash of that period in the 2014 Brazil World Cup, they recovered somewhat with round of 16 finishes in 2016 and a semifinal finish in 2020.
All right. Well, let's go into the Euro Cup history of qualifying, just qualifying. That's our deep dive for this series. So Spain entered the first Euro Cup in 1960, and actually they won the first round of two. However, when drawn to play the USSR in the second round, their right-wing leader, Franco, didn't allow the team to travel to the Soviet Union, leading to their disqualification. Go ahead.
Sure. Sorry. 1964 had three rounds of qualification, and Spain beat Romania, Northern Ireland, then Ireland to advance to the Cup. It seems the host was chosen from among the four teams that qualified, and Spain was selected. Ironically, they faced USSR in the final, a game Franco attended, and Spain won.
Right. Well, from 1968, the format was a group stage qualification, and that was followed, actually, by a home and away playoff round, though it was confusingly referred to as the quarterfinal round. But only four teams actually made the cup during this period. So Spain, in the group stage, won all of their games at home, but none on the road. They nevertheless finished first in the group and advanced to a playoff with England, where they lost both legs, and so they were unable to defend their title.
They would not qualify again until 1980, when the tournament expanded to eight teams. 1972 saw them fall to their nemesis, USSR, and in 1976, They won the group but fell to West Germany in the playoff.
Right. Well, 1980 began a series of strong qualifications where they won all home games and dropped only a few points on the road, but invariably finished first. Only in 1984 was it a close campaign. In the final game in 1984, Spain would need to win by an 11-goal margin over Malta to advance over Netherlands, and that seemed unlikely when they were leading only 3-1 at halftime. However, they won 12-1, leaving the Dutch suspicious about what happened and contributing to the argument that final games should be played at the same time.
More than a little suspicious, it seems.
Yeah.
1992, however, was a poor campaign. It would be the only tournament they would fail to reach in the modern era. There they finished third in a group behind France and Czechoslovakia. That would be the last time they failed to reach the cup. From 1996, they finished first every time except once, and their strength was founded on their incredible home record. From 1996, over their 33 home games in qualification to 2020, they've only suffered one draw and one loss. The draw was in 1996 against Belgium, but they easily qualified there. And in 2000, where they won all games except their opener, a shameful loss in Cyprus.
Ah, who they meet here. Okay, well, 2004 was the only campaign where they didn't win the group. Greece, who would go on to win the cup, was the team that handed them their only loss, their only home loss since 1992. But otherwise, qualification proved easy as they won both legs of the playoff over Norway, who they also meet here.
2008 started poorly, losing their first two away games. But these results were affordable as Spain nevertheless finished on top. They went on to win that cup and the next in 2012, going through qualification for that tournament with a perfect record.
Yeah, and 2016 was almost as impressive. They once again could easily afford a single points drop on the road. That was a loss in Slovakia. And they finished five points clear in first. Okay, and instead of overviewing 2020, we're going to take a closer look at it as we move into look at Spain's recent tournaments. So how did they do in 2020, Connor?
Yeah, in qualifying, they once again finished a clear first in their qualifying group, suffering only draws away with second place Sweden and third place Norway. Romania, Faroe Islands, and Malta filled out the bottom half of the group. In the tournament, Spain tied Sweden and Poland, but beat Slovakia heavily to finish second in the group stage behind Sweden. Despite dominating, Croatia scored two late goals to force extra time in the first knockout round, but Spain scored twice in extra time to avoid penalties. It did, however, go to penalties with Switzerland in the quarterfinals, which they won, and Italy in the semifinals, where they lost.
Right. So semifinal finish, not bad there. Let's see how they did in the 2022 World Cup. Do you want to do that or...
Yeah, I'll take us through.
Yeah.
So Spain tied at home to Greece in their opener and lost in Sweden, but otherwise won all their games, proving more consistent than second place Sweden, to finish first in the qualifying group. At the tournament, they started the cup with a thrashing of Costa Rica and were beating Germany, but suffered a late equalizing goal. A loss to Japan in their third game meant finishing in second place in the group stage behind the Japanese. That seemed to work in their favor as it meant facing Morocco instead of Croatia, although both ultimately reached the semifinals. They fell to Morocco in a shootout after a goalless game, missing all three of their penalties.
Wow, missing all three of their penalties. All right, let's move on to the 2022-23 UEFA Nations League. And Connor, I think those games were all played before the World Cup, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, take it away.
So Spain were in League A. They started with a couple of draws, but then won three of their remaining four games to top a group. They finished a point ahead of Portugal and 2 points ahead of Switzerland. Czech Republic also in the group. So it was pretty competitive, but Spain did win it, so they'll be competing in the four-team final series this coming June.
Yeah, that's in June. And actually, that's why they were put into a group of five rather than a group of six to kind of give them time to play those games. All right. Well, we're going to finish with just a quick overview of their players. And let's take a look. And well, they're blessed with talent and they're constantly able to renew themselves. So they really should be doing better than their typical round of 16 result as far as the finals of tournament goes. Their qualification, though, results are very solid, and they also suggest a really strong team. The only recent retirement since the World Cup is Sergio Busquets, and though they lack some of the big names like that and those who populated the dynasty generation, they do have a huge pool of strong players available for selection. Okay, well, are we ready to move on to Scotland?
Sure, we'll start with Scotland and you'll talk about their participation and achievements.
That's right. Well, their first international game was in 1872. So they, along with England, are the oldest international soccer teams on the planet. However, like all British teams, they didn't enter the World Cup until 1950. And Scotland actually qualified for that cup, but they withdrew. And they've qualified for eight World Cups that they entered, with an especially long streak from 1974 to 1990. That's five cups in a row. However, they haven't reached it since 1998. Their Euro Cup record, on the other hand, is far worse, qualifying for only three editions, the last of them being in 1996, before they reached the expanded edition recently in 2020. So they've never passed the group stage in either cup. Okay, do you want to take a bit of a closer look at the World Cup?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, British teams didn't participate in pre-war cups, but Scotland qualified in 1950 by finishing second in the British Home Championship, which was a local tournament. However, they withdrew for the strange reason of not having come first in the group. They qualified for the next two editions in 1954 and 1958, then, after missing three in a row, qualified for the next five. Their World Cup appearances were an exercise in frustration, though. They never got past the group stage, but came close four times, finishing tied with second place advancers three cups in a row. In 1974, it was Brazil, in 1978, the Netherlands, and in 1982, the USSR. Following their last appearance in 1998, they have failed to qualify. Since 2002, they have finished third in their qualifying group every time except for 2014 when they finished fourth. 2010 and 2018 saw them finish tied with second place finishers, but in both cases, the second place finisher did not advance and the group winner was far ahead. In 2022, they did finish second and advance to a playoff round, though they were quickly knocked out.
Right, and we'll be taking a closer look at that recent tournament. But we're going to move on to an overview of their Euro Cup performance. So their Euro Cup, as we said, is much less impressive than their World Cup history. They didn't enter the first two cups, but came just a point behind England in 1968. That was the last time they would come close, though, finishing third and then fourth in their groups during their good period of World Cup qualification. As that World Cup form waned, they reached their only two Euro Cups in 1992 and 1996, coming third in the group both times, but re-haunted in 1996, finishing tied on points and on goal difference with the Netherlands, who advanced by scoring one more goal. In 2000, Czechoslovakia got their long-awaited revenge. They were Czech Republic by this point. Condemning them to second place and a playoff with England, which they lost. They lost a playoff also to the Netherlands in 2004, but then grew even further from reaching the cup since they finished third in their group, or in 2016 when the cup expanded to 24 teams, they finished fourth. But they got back to third in 2020 qualification. However, their performance in the UEFA League earned them a spot in the playoff round, which they won to reach their third Euro Cup in their history. So once again, though, they were knocked out at the group stage. Okay, let's go on to the deep dive, the Euro qualifying history. Do you want to take it away?
Right. So Scotland did not enter the first two editions, and qualification in 1968 was through the British Home Championship. Despite besting England there, they finished behind them thanks mostly to a loss in Northern Ireland, so didn't qualify.
Right. Well, in 1972, they faced European competition and won all games at home. However, they lost all on the road and finished third in the group. 1976 was also a third place finish. There they tied second place Romania twice, and the two finished even on points. But Scotland, they always seem to be unlucky when they tie, Connor. Here too, they finished behind on overall goal difference.
In 1980, Scotland finished fourth of fifth, and in 1984, despite going undefeated at home, finished fourth of four.
Yeah, a better campaign in 1988 ended with a record of 3 wins, 3 draws, and 2 losses. But that was only enough for fourth place, although they were only separated from the group winner, Ireland, by 2 points. So now they come fourth in a pile of players, a pile of teams. However, it was the reverse in 1992. So the top four finished within 2 points of each other, but woohoo, they came out on top this time ahead of Switzerland and Romania.
That was their first Euro Cup qualification, and in 1996 they made it 2 in a row, beneficiaries of the cup expanding to 16 teams. They finished second in a 16 group, tying group winners Russia home and away, with a loss in Greece, the only other points dropped. And second place in the group was good enough for automatic qualification.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, the 2000 Cup wasn't good enough for automatic qualification. They finished second there also, despite a poor road record, which saw them tying Lithuania, Estonia, and Faroe Islands, all three of those pretty weak teams. But it was second place, and this time it meant a playoff berth, and they lost that to England, despite winning the away leg at Wembley. That was the second leg. 2004 was actually similar, once again tying Faroe Islands, and this time losing in Lithuania, but finishing second and again earning a playoff spot. This time they won the first leg at home, but they were thrashed 6-0 in the Netherlands to again fall at the last hurdle.
2008 featured a 7-team group, and they beat France home and away, only to finish in third behind them and first place Italy. So very tough group.
Mm-hmm.
2012 started with a tie in Lithuania, the fourth straight qualification campaign where they met them. And they offered little challenge to Spain and Czech Republic, finishing third behind them.
Right. And 2016 was a mixed campaign that saw them finish fourth of six, despite besting third place Ireland and twice tying second place Poland. In this campaign, Scotland's Stephen Fletcher scored a hat trick. That was their first hat trick since 1969. And then he went on to score another hat trick in their final game. And maybe you can guess by looking at the table who those hat tricks were against.
Yeah, got to be Gibraltar.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, we won't overview 2020 because we'll take a closer look at it. How did they do in the 2020 Euro Cup?
Well, Scotland were consistent against bottom teams Cyprus, Kazakhstan, and San Marino, except for an opening loss in Kazakhstan. But they lost all games to Belgium and Russia to finish third in the qualifying group, actually with the odd record of 5 wins and 5 losses. Mm. Their Nations League performance, though, earned them a place in the playoffs, where they beat Israel on penalties at home in the semifinal. In the final in Serbia, they allowed a last-minute equalizer, but won on penalties, with Serbia missing their final shot. They performed reasonably well once in the tournament. They actually played some games at home, but they lost to Czech Republic and Croatia and earned only a draw with group winner and eventual finalist England to finish last in the group stage.
Yeah, three of the teams passing the group stage with them in last. Let's see how they did in the World Cup 2022. They didn't qualify, so we're just looking at their qualifying campaign.
Yeah, it was a shaky start with a home tie with fourth place Austria, although a tie in Israel was respectable. They then won all games after that, except in Denmark, who were the eventual group winners. They finished second in the qualifying group, which led to the regional playoff, but they lost to Ukraine in the semifinal. So a good campaign overall, but no ultimate success.
Yeah. Okay, and finally, the 2022-23 UEFA Nations League. And I figured out that the first four games were in March of... I think I'm wrong again. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so Scotland were in League B, and they won all games at home against Armenia, Ukraine, and Ireland, and then had a win, a draw, and a loss on the road. But it was good enough for first place, so Scotland will be promoted to Group A, the elite, for the first time in their history.
Very nice. Okay, and if we just take a look at that, because we're going to talk about their form a little bit later, but you said they got off to a weak start in 2022 World Cup qualifying, but they did win their last six games there, and that together with the first place in Nations League B group suggests better form, do you think?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, if not for that kind of slow start in World Cup qualifying, they actually could have, you know, pushed almost for first place in an automatic spot. So, yeah, for Scotland, you'd probably say that their results and performances have been kind of at a peak in terms of their recent history.
Yeah, well, as we said at the beginning in this group, we're kind of keeping an eye on form. And part of that will be the quick comment we have on their players. So they do have some good individual players who are performing well, or at least sometimes, in the English league. Most notable is Liverpool wingback Andrew Robertson. But John McGinn, Kieran Tierney, and Scott McTominay are among the more recognizable names. And they have some promising players coming into the picture, including two young players on mid-level Italian teams. Their recent improvement does seem to be based on a higher quality squad, but a bit more time is needed to assess the team, especially against top-tier competition. All right, any closing thoughts on Scotland before we move on to Norway?
No, I think they'll be optimistic, but we'll talk more about that in our predictions. So let's talk about, yeah, Norway next.
All right, well, we begin with an overview of their participation and achievements. And their first international game was in 1908. And their long history is established by their successful qualification for the 1938 World Cup. They didn't enter in 1950, but have never been absent since then. And they also have a long history in the Euro Cup, participating in the first one in 1960 and never failing to enter. After their successful qualification in 1938, they didn't reach a World Cup again until 1994. But that proved a strong period as they reached two cups in a row then and in 1998. In 1998, they even passed the group stage. However, they haven't qualified since. And that strong period also marks their only qualification for the Euro Cup in 2000. And there they were knocked out at the group stage. All right, let's move on to a bit of a closer look at their World Cup history, an overview though.
So qualification for the first World Cup in 1938 only required besting Ireland. That showed more strength than most of their post-war campaigns, where they sometimes appeared feeble, even losing all games in 1962. 1966 was their most competitive qualifying year in that period, finishing second behind France, but ahead of Yugoslavia. It was a smattering of wins and ties and a bottom half finish from then until remarkable campaigns in the mid-90s, where they lost just one game over the two qualification runs. In 1994, an amazing first-place finish over Netherlands, England, and Poland.
Wow, tough group, eh?
For sure. And in 1998, it was an easier grouping with Hungary, Finland, and fourth place Switzerland. They went undefeated not only in qualification in 1998, but in the group stage of the World Cup and advanced to the final rounds for the only time in their history. They crashed down in 2002, finishing fourth in qualifying behind Belarus, but came close in the following two campaigns with second place finishes in each. Since 2014, though, they have finished no higher than third in their group.
All right, a bit of an up and down history there. Let's take a look at Euro Cup in overview.
So their Euro Cup play follows the same pattern with weak campaigns until 1992, then competitive runs until 2002, where they qualified.
As in the 2000.
Euro 2000, they qualified for. As in the 1994 World Cup, 4 points was not enough to pass the group stage at the tournament. Since then, qualification runs have been competitive, finishing tied with or 1 point behind the advancing team. They advanced from their group 3 out of 4 times since 2004, but lost in the playoffs every time. Now that the competition has expanded to 24 teams, they stand a reasonable chance of reaching it, although they failed to take advantage of that over the last two tournaments.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, let's do our deep dive into Euro Cup qualifying, and we begin right at the beginning in 1960. They joined that year and were a very weak team until a big jump forward in 1984. I shouldn't have said big jump forward. It was a jump forward and then another jump forward in 1992, which we'll come to. They overall took a step back in 2004, but came heartbreakingly close in every qualification after that. But ultimately, they were only successful, as we saw, once in 2000. Well, that was a bit of an overview of qualification. Let's take a look. In early knockout rounds, they fell to Austria in 1960 and to Sweden in 1964. 1968 was the first group qualification for the Euro Cup, and they showed some spunk, beating Sweden at home and tying Bulgaria, but they did finish last in the group.
Over the next three campaigns, they lost all games except one. In 1972 and 1980, it was a single away draw with Bulgaria and Belgium, respectively. Last place finishes continued over the next two campaigns, but 1984 did see them more competitive, earning one win and two ties. In 1984, it meant taking points off all the other teams, and in 1988, it meant besting France, who nevertheless finished ahead of them.
Right. Well, 1992 took them off the bottom of the table. They lost only two games, both to group winner USSR, and they actually bested Italy to spoil their campaign. However, they themselves finished third, just a point behind Italy, and this was the start of their strongest period.
Having reached the 1994 World Cup, they looked likely to reach the 1996 Euro Cup, going undefeated in their first eight games. The last two games were their toughest, though, away games in Czech Republic and Netherlands. Norway lost both, and the top three were separated by just 1 point in the table, but Norway were third and did not advance.
Yeah, it looked as if their chance was passing them by as they began the 2000 campaign with a home loss to Latvia, as well as tying Albania in their second game at home. But they won all games after that, and all games on the road to finish first ahead of Slovenia for their only Euro Cup appearance.
Norway remained respectably strong in 2004, going undefeated at home. As in 1996, 1 point separated the top three, but this time they were second behind Denmark and earned a playoff spot. They were unfortunate to meet Spain, perhaps the strongest qualifying team in Europe, and they lost both legs.
Right. Well, similar heartbreak followed. A decent campaign in 2008 saw them finishing third, just 1 point behind second place Turkey. 2012 was closer still, undefeated at home to finish tied with second place Portugal, but behind on goal difference. the two having exchanged 1-0 wins at home.
In 2016, it was another close third place finish, just 1 point behind Croatia. But the newly expanded cup made this an advancing spot, and they continued to a playoff, which they lost to Hungary. And now we'll look at 2020.
In a bit more detail. Yeah.
Go ahead. Norway lost only their first game in Spain, but they tied 5 of their 10 games overall and finished third place again in the qualifying group. This included tying second place Sweden and fourth place Romania, though they won all games against Faroe Islands and Malta. Nevertheless, they qualified for the playoffs due to their performance at the 2019-20 Euro Nations League, but they lost at home in extra time to Serbia in the semifinal round.
Right. Okay, well, let's see how they did in World Cup qualifying.
So Norway were bested by Netherlands and Turkey, both of whom finished ahead of them, but the otherwise suffered only a draw, though at home, to Latvia in their games with the weaker teams. They also had Montenegro and Gibraltar in their group. So once again, they finished third in the qualifying group. Though they didn't advance, it was notable this campaign as young star Erling Haaland comes into action for them.
All right. Okay, well, let's finish with their performance in 2022-23 UEFA qualifying.
Yeah, so this is the Nations League where Norway were in League B. They started very strongly with away wins in Serbia and Sweden, but their form tailed off after that. Dropping points to Slovenia twice and losing their final home game against Serbia, who finished ahead of them and won promotion. So second place finish, they will remain in League B for the upcoming edition.
Yeah, after starting with 2 away wins, looked like they would, had a chance of getting to League A there. Well, you mentioned Erling Haaland, and of course, I think a lot of hope rests on him, but they have other players also, like Martin Odegaard with Arsenal, and it will hopefully raise the level of play to something closer to their best period in the 90s. They only need a little boost, it seems, after doing that deep dive, because they often finish like just a point out of qualification.
Yeah.
Anyway, besides those two big names, they have Julian Ryerson with Borussia Dortmund and Ola Solbakken with Roma, all of these players under 25. And additionally, many of their players are with respectable European clubs. However, their results really haven't improved commensurate with those players. What do you think?
Yeah, the potential's there for Norway, and with the young squad, including some real superstars. They have the ingredients, you would think, but you're right. They haven't been able to make it in recent campaigns. So it's a question of trying to put that potential into action.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that more later. But once again, you can see kind of form being a lot of the story there for Norway as to how they'll do in this cup. All right, let's move on to our fourth team, Georgia, and we'll begin with their participation and achievements. So Georgia existed as an independent country from 1918 to 1921, but played no games as a nation. They came under the control of the Soviet Union until 1991, although their first international game is unofficially in May 1990, but officially in September 1992. They didn't make it in time for the draw for the 1994 World Cup qualification. That draw was in December 1991. So Euro 1996 was their first tournament. They've consistently entered both cups since then. But they've never qualified for a cup and generally finish in the bottom half of the table. In Euro 1996, their first campaign, they managed to finish third in their group. And in 2020 Euro qualifying, they reached a playoff round and came within one game of reaching the cup. While not really competitive at the campaign level, they are strong at home and are notorious spoilers, taking points from stronger teams in most of their campaigns. All right, well, let's take a look at the World Cup in a bit more detail, if you take us through the overview.
So in World Cup qualification, Georgia earned 10 points in every qualification from 1998 to 2006 and usually finished second last. 2002 was an exception in that their 10 points earned them third place for their best finish. At the other end, 2010 and 2014 were significantly worse, with 2010 a low of 3 points for a last place finish. Every campaign features a spoiler result, usually at home though, to a second tier team.
All right, well, let us take a look at the Euro Cup in overview before we do the deep dive.
So Euro qualification has been weaker in general. After coming an impressive third in their first qualification in 1996, they finished last twice. In 2008 and 2012, they resumed their 10-point second last place finishes established in World Cup results and have finished one place above last since. 2020 saw the same result, but their performance in the UEFA Nations League earned them a spot in the playoffs, a golden ticket of sorts. They reached the final round where they needed only to beat North Macedonia to reach the tournament, but they lost. Again, spoiler results at the game level are the most notable part of their campaigns.
All right, well, let us take a deep dive into their campaigns, which begins in 1996. So as we saw, in World Cup qualification, Georgia established a pattern over their first two campaigns of earning 10 points. And though with one exception, that meant last place, second last place finishes in their group. Euro qualification fell into the same pattern, and they have maintained it, or something close to that, with remarkable consistency.
Their first qualification in 1996, though, was better than that, and it remains their best campaign. It was wildly inconsistent, beating stronger teams and losing to weaker ones. But the outcomes was 5 wins and 5 losses with 15 points and a third place finish.
Right. 2000, though, was followed. Sorry, that campaign was followed by their worst performances in 2000 and 2004. In both, they lost all road games and finished last in both cases. 2004, though, did feature some good spoiler results at home, for which they became known. A win over Russia here, causing Russia to lose top spot.
2008 and 2012 saw them fall into their 10-point second last placement. They did take points from Ukraine and Scotland in 2008, and in 2012 earned a big feather with a win over Croatia, spoiling their campaign.
All right. Well, 2016 and 20 were less competitive, considering that in both, 6 of their points came from wins over the feeble Gibraltar. Nevertheless, they once again menaced Scotland, who they beat at home in 2016, and they tied Denmark and Ireland, maintaining their spoiler reputation in 2020.
Yeah, we'll take a closer look at that 2020 Cup. And as you said, they tied Denmark and Ireland, both of those at home. But otherwise, they only beat the weak Gibraltar twice. Those are their only 2 wins. And they finished 4th in the group stage, well back of Ireland, who were 3rd. Their Nations League performance earned them a place in the playoffs, where they beat Belarus at home in the semifinal on a single goal, and then lost that same way, also at home, to North Macedonia, thus losing out on a golden ticket for weak teams to the Cup.
Yeah, we call that the golden ticket because that was graduation from League C. So normally they wouldn't reach the Cup, especially with a 4th place finish like that. But before we look at the Nations League, let's take a look at their performance in the 2022 World Cup.
So Georgia earned a single point in a draw in Greece up until the last 2 games when they beat Kosovo away and then won at home over Sweden. This spirited them out of last place and moved them up to 4th, out of five in the qualifying group.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm actually thinking that they might have graduated from Group D to earn that golden ticket, or League D.
I think that's right. I think there were four golden tickets, kind of one for each of the four nations leagues, A, B, C, and D. So I think you're right. I think it was D, where they came out of.
Anyway, in the 2022-23 Nations League, they were in League C. And do you want to take us through their performance there?
Yeah, they performed very well, winning five of their six games, drawing the other. That was a home draw with Bulgaria, but they twice beat North Macedonia, so earning some measure of revenge for their Euro Cup exit, and then twice beating Gibraltar, who they seem to meet with kind of phenomenal frequency.
Yeah, that's right. So once again, they finished first in their group, so now they're up in League B next time around, but once again, Connor, if we look at their recent form, we see two big wins at the end of World Cup 2022 qualifying, and then that tremendous performance in the Nations League, which is why I'm saying form seems to be more relevant than their overall history going into this qualification.
Yeah, that's right. They'll be playing in Group B for the first time. At the next Nations League, where they'll be kind of playing with a lot of those second tier clubs who they're kind of famous for taking points from in qualifying campaigns. So it'll see interesting to see how they do in a sustained six match campaign.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, let's see if their players, an overview of their players, offers any insight. So they do have a 22-year-old Kavica Kvaratskhelia. Who scored? What's that?
Well done.
Oh, thank you. I practiced. He scored four of their goals in World Cup 2022 qualifying, and he also scored in five of those six games we just saw in the Nations League. So he plays for Napoli and is a real bright spark there. Beyond him, they have 22-year-olds playing for Valencia, Bordeaux, Metz, Shakhtar Donetsk, Lech Poznan, and two for Dynamo Moscow, all of those respectable European teams. So this generation of youth may raise their level. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think they're an exciting team to keep an eye on. I think the form is trending in the right direction, and having a good crop of young players is promising as well. So definitely a team I'm excited to keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, that'll factor into our discussion at the end. But before we do that, we're going to take a look at Cyprus, the fifth team in the group, and begin with an overview of their participation and achievements. So they began qualifying for the World Cup in 1962 and for the Euro Cup in 1968, and haven't failed to enter since those times. They've never succeeded in qualifying and, in fact, have never finished in the top half of the table. Their glories are limited to single game victories or to respectable qualifying campaigns. In recent years, they invariably finish second last, thanks to an infusion of feeble teams since about 1990. The best measure is how far out of second place they are. So in the 2000 Euro Cup qualifying campaign, that was their best campaign, they were only 1 point out of second place, whereas in 2006 World Cup qualifying, their worst, they were fully 14 points out of second place. Okay, do you want to do a quick World Cup overview?
Sure. So in World Cup qualification, they finished last in their group until 1990. Since then, it has been second last, but invariably ahead of a weak team like Faroe Islands, Andorra, or Gibraltar. 2010 was an exceptional year in that they not only finished fourth of six, but ahead of strong teams in Montenegro and Georgia.
Georgia, who they meet here. Let's take a look at their Euro Cup overview.
So the pattern for Euro qualification is very similar. They finished last in their group until 1992 and second last since, with the exception of 2012 when they finished last because there was no feeble team in the group. 2020 was a bit better, finishing fourth of six ahead of Kazakhstan and Andorra.
Right, and we'll be taking a closer look at that recent campaign. But now we enter into the deep dive of their Euro Cup qualifying. So we saw Cyprus was a relatively feeble team in the early years. Apart from the odd success at the game level, their progress can best be measured by their goals record, especially their goals against. So their first entry in 1968 did see them beat Switzerland in the last game, but they were beaten heavily in all road games and gave up an average of 4.2 goals per game. They lost all games in their next two campaigns, and their goals against averages were 4.3 in 1972, but they improved that to 2.7 in 1976.
Yeah, after that, they earned home draws with Romania, Italy, and Czechoslovakia with goals against averages of 3.2 and 2.6. 1998, it was an away draw in Poland, but goals against improved to 2 per game. An incident in the Netherlands that year almost saw them awarded a win. Crowd trouble saw the Cyprus goalkeeper hit by a firework and injured, Cypriot players leaving the field in protest. UEFA later awarded it a 2-0 win for Cyprus, but Netherlands appealed, and the game was ordered to be replayed, which the Netherlands won.
Yeah, all right. Well, in 1992, they took a step back, losing all games with the goals against record over 3. 1996, though, marked a turn in their fortunes. The increasing number of weak teams meant that second last became their standard finish and afforded them a few wins in their campaigns. They bested Armenia to finish ahead of them, but also improved performance, tying Denmark and Belgium and averaging 2 goals against over 10 games, which is pretty respectable.
Yeah. 2000 started with a home win over Spain, who exacted revenge in the return fixture, smashing them 8-0. Cyprus also beat Israel and finished fourth, but only 2 points out of second place. They finished a point behind Israel in 2004 as well, and began challenging at the middle of the table. 2008 saw just 3 points separating third place and sixth. But despite some good results, they were at the bottom of that pile, second last again. The placement did not reward besting Ireland, also beating Wales 3-0 and tying Germany. So wow. A pretty strong campaign there in 2008.
Yeah, good spoiler results there. Okay, well, moving on to 2012, that started very promisingly, a stunning 4-4 draw in Portugal, where most of the goals were spectacular. However, they earned only 1 point more over the last 7 games, and this time they finished in last place behind Iceland.
2016 was unusual in that they won only 1 game at home, but 3 on the road. For the third time, though, they finished 1 point behind Israel, but again, in second last.
All right. Well, we won't overview 2020 because we're taking a close look at it here. So how did they do in this campaign?
So Cyprus beat San Marino twice, including in their opener. and bested Kazakhstan to finish fourth in qualifying out of 6. But they earned no points off Belgium, Russia, or Scotland, who they meet here.
Right. Okay, well, that wasn't very impressive. Let's see if they did any better in World Cup 2022 campaign.
So Cyprus tied Slovakia and beat Slovenia in their first two home games, but otherwise they only tied Malta there, and they actually lost all on the road, including a 3-0 loss in Malta. Despite being bested by Malta, though, they finished ahead of them, fifth of 6 in the qualifying group.
Ooh, bested by Malta, that's not good.
Yeah, and just 5 points from their 10 games, so a pretty poor return.
All right, well, let's see if it looked any better in the 2022-23 UEFA Nations League, where they were in Group C.
Yes, Group C. And it actually didn't get better for them. They finished with one win, two draws, and three losses. Their only win, actually a 1-0 win over Greece. But they finished bottom of the group, behind Greece, who were the group winners, and also Kosovo and Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that's a little harsh, actually. They won at home to Greece, and they tied Northern Ireland twice. So I think last place is a bit tough, hey?
And they actually were tied on points with Northern Ireland for last place, but went down by virtue of goal difference, not helped by a 5-1 hammering in Kosovo in their final game.
Wow. Yeah, so again, we kind of look at the form. Cyprus, potentially a good spoiler team, and it looks like they still are, but they have kind of looked weak over their last few campaigns there.
I agree. I think it was earlier in the 2000s, kind of even up to 2010, where they were more of a spoiler team, but it really seems like they're not quite doing that with the same regularity in recent campaigns.
Yeah, let's see if we see anything in the quick players overview that will shed some light. So the player with the biggest club affiliation there is 29-year-old Constantino Leifis, beyond which we do see some clubs like Sporting Kansas City in the USA, Como in Italy, and St. Mirren in Scotland. So some clubs in Cyprus are respectable enough, most notably Apoel and Omonia. And it was a defender who was a top scorer in 2020, and no player scored more than one goal in the 2022 World Cup qualifying. But they do have one player, 21-year-old Andronikos
Kakoulis.
Yeah, who does show some promise. So I don't know. Not looking great there, although they do have some players with a bit of promise. Do you have a thought on that?
No, my only comment was that Konstantinos Leifis, who you mentioned, he played the Standard Liège in Belgium, so that would probably be the biggest affiliation of any squad member.
Oh yeah, I think I forgot to mention what club he was actually with. All right, well, let's move on to part three, and we're going to begin part three with an overview of their rankings. So can you take us through that?
Sure. So the teams were ranked for this qualifying in terms of their Nations League results. So their UEFA ranking doesn't necessarily match their world rankings. So I just want to clarify that.
Yeah.
But Spain were, they're the pot one team. They were third in Europe at the time of the draw. They were 10th according to the FIFA rankings and 6th according to ELO. That's a little bit of a drop from where they had been. Again, a couple round of 16 finishes. But they're consistently a top 10 team.
Yeah, and they're particularly strong in qualifying. So I think clearly first here.
Yeah. The pot two team is Scotland. They were 20th in Europe at the time of the draw, 42nd in FIFA and 32nd in ELO, so a little bit higher. That's more or less where they've been recently, kind of getting as high as 32nd in the FIFA rankings in December 2017, but then dropping to kind of 50th and kind of being in the 40s for most of the time in both systems.
Yeah, a bit up and down, but maybe coming into better form, as we saw. How about Norway?
Norway were 24th in Europe, so just behind Scotland in the UEFA rankings, but actually slightly ahead of them in the FIFA rankings at 36th, and actually tied with them in ELO at 32nd, so that's kind of intriguing. Norway kind of climbing a little bit, from the lows of 87 and 69th 5 years ago or 6 years ago in June 2017.
Right, yeah, that promises to be a good battle between them and Scotland. Let's see if Georgia looks as if they can join that battle.
Yeah, so Georgia were 33rd in Europe. They're 78th in FIFA, but their ELO ranking is more generous and has them at 51st. And actually, they've kind of consistently been higher in ELO compared to FIFA. We generally find that ELO ranking is a little bit more long-term and reliable. So interesting to see the discrepancy there. And I guess we'll maybe see in this campaign which of those is more representative of their true strength.
Yeah, but even those rankings themselves don't suggest that they would really be challenging Scotland and Norway. But who knows? We'll talk about that soon. How about Cyprus?
Yeah, so Cyprus were 45th in Europe at the time of the draw. And they're actually below 100 in both ranking systems, 110th and 117th. So some way back of the other teams. They occasionally reach above 100 in FIFA, but around that 100th mark or lower is kind of where they've sat for much of the last 10 years.
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, Scotland, Norway, and Georgia seem to be improving in form, and Cyprus seem to be going the other way. So that doesn't look great for them. I'll take us through an overview of their head-to-head records just quickly here. So we begin, we were always going to start with the team that has the better record. So Spain has a better record than all of them. Against Scotland, it's 5 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses. They last played in 2012, so not very relevant. Spain also has a better record over Norway, a 3 wins, 1 loss, and 1 tie. They played in 2020 most recently, and that was where Norway earned a tie. Actually, they earned a tie. Oh, they was in Norway. Spain and Georgia is pretty clear. 4 wins, 0 draws, and 0 ties. So clear record over them. And over Cyprus, we saw that Cyprus actually did take a win from them in the 2000 Euro Cup. I think that was the last time they played, actually. And it's 7 wins and 1 loss. Spain dominating that head-to-head. We move on to Scotland, who have a winning record over Norway. That's 4 wins, 3 draws, and 2 losses. However, Norway has gotten the better of them in their more recent meetings. So they met actually in the 1998 World Cup group stage where they tied 1-1. And in 2010 World Cup qualifying, Norway came out the winner, besting Scotland there, actually beating them 4-0 in one of the legs. Scotland and Georgia, interestingly, have an even record of 2 wins and 2 losses each. Georgia winning at home in both of their legs. So we saw that they can be a bit of a spoiler team. And finally, Scotland have a winning record over Cyprus. And they last met in 2020 Euro Cup qualifying, where Scotland won twice. So it's 6 wins for Scotland, no draws and no ties. Moving on to Norway. Norway have losing records with Spain and Scotland, as we saw, but a winning record over Georgia, although they've only met once, and that was in 2000, where Norway won both games. And against Cyprus, they've met 8 times, and Norway has won every time. Their most recent meeting was in 2014. And finally, we have Cyprus and Georgia, and they met in the 2010 World Cup qualifying campaign. That was their only meeting, and they tied in Georgia, and Cyprus won the home leg. So actually, Cyprus has a winning record over Georgia there. Whew, I'm done, Connor. Are you ready to take us through the odds?
Yeah, we'll look at the odds to win the groups. But before we do that, I just want to look at where each team comes from in their pot. So Spain are 3rd ranked among the pot 1 teams, partly because they won their last UEFA Nations League A group. Scotland are 2nd bottom in pot 2. They'll meet Norway, who are 3rd top in pot 3. So they're from different pots, but they're actually pretty close together. Georgia is the top ranked team in pot 4. And then Cyprus is the 3rd ranked team in pot 5, which also includes Gibraltar, Moldova, Latvia, and Malta. So maybe not a strong team, but perhaps relatively strong. And I think it leads to actually a relatively strong group overall, with the exception of Scotland, every team really coming from the top of their pot.
Yeah, and Scotland, you know, their form is improving, so that maybe makes them a bit more competitive too.
Yeah, so we will look at the odds now. So Spain are the heavy favorites, given an 82% chance of winning the group. Scotland are favored over Norway at 15.4% compared to 9.3%. And then Georgia are given a 1.2% chance to win the group, and Cyprus just 0.5%.
All right. Well, maybe that's a good place to begin our discussion. And first of all, do you agree with those odds, or do you think some of them are too high or too low?
I think I agree with them, actually. I see Spain as heavy favorites to win the group, with kind of an outside chance that they are, you know, somebody else could win it. But I think Scotland and Norway are close. Maybe not to win the group, but I think Georgia will be competitive with Scotland and Norway, certainly at the game level.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm seeing it. I do actually see Scotland and Norway as a little bit closer. But I see Georgia, again, this is odds to win the group, so I don't think Georgia really have a chance of winning the group. But I think they are a little bit closer to the middle than those odds really make out. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance of Spain losing the group? Or not finishing first, I should say?
I think there's a chance. However, their history would kind of seem to suggest otherwise, given they are so strong in qualification. I think they're a stronger team than Scotland, for sure, and Norway. But Norway, you know, we're perhaps a little bit unpredictable. We're kind of waiting to see what this new generation is going to look like. So perhaps a surprisingly strong Norway, you know, could throw a surprise. So maybe in that way, you know, I maybe prefer them over Scotland to win the group, given that their form is a bit more of a question mark.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, the promise in Scotland and Georgia is, you know, kind of proven in the results. They both won their Nations League groups and are looking in good form. Norway should be in good form, but their promise kind of lies more in the squad, but they haven't really shown it yet. And I don't know the results of the March game, but I do know that Haaland didn't play. So maybe not putting their best foot forward right away.
I was going to ask how you see Spain doing. Do you see them being so strong as you know, possibly winning all games?
Yeah, their qualification history is so strong. I mean, any doubts about Spain are kind of in the latter stages of the Cup. But, you know, they've only ever lost one game at home. And that was to Greece in 2004. Like, they're absolutely imperious at home. So, and also, I do think that the middle teams will take points off each other, which will, you know, even if Spain drop a couple of points, I think they'll finish well clear of second place. So, yeah. No doubts there. But it is an exciting group for me in the middle three. And I think Georgia could be part of that middle three, even though the odds and the rankings don't really suggest it. We know that they're a lot of trouble at home. They'll definitely take some points at home, and they may be in the thick of it with a good campaign.
Yeah, I think key to Georgia would be beating Cyprus twice, because they sometimes will drop points, especially on the road where they're not as strong. You know, that could really upend a challenge for them, where if they beat Cyprus twice and are good at home, then you know, then they can be in the mix for sure.
That's right. And, you know, Cyprus, despite being the weakest team by far here, are capable of taking points. So if Georgia does beat them, say, and then Cyprus takes points off of Scotland or Norway, you know, it could make for a pretty exciting group. Mm-hmm. Do you see any hope beyond the spoiler results for Cyprus?
No, I really don't. And I think we mentioned that you know, teams, you know, are come from kind of near the top of their pots. I think this is a very difficult group for Cyprus. They're not in with kind of one of those feeble teams, you know, and Andorra or Gibraltar. And those are really the only teams they've been beating recently. So without those prospects of perhaps an easy 6 points, I really do see them struggling quite a bit in this group.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that unlike the other three, their form is kind of waning. Because if they were guaranteed to take a few spoiler results at home, I think they could play an interesting role in this group.
Yeah.
All right, Connor. Well, I think you've dodged enough here, and I am waiting to hear your prediction for this group.
My prediction is Spain to win it and Cyprus to finish last. And I'm going to go Norway second ahead of the perpetually unlucky Scots. And then I think Georgia will be fourth, but I do expect them to have a say in this group.
All right. Well, we didn't talk about luck in the discussion, but we certainly should have. Both they and Norway are kind of unlucky in that they, you know, they often finish tied with a team that advances to the next round, but they often come out on the lower end of it. And I agree that Scottish luck is a reason why Norway should be ahead of them. But I'm going to reverse those two because I don't feel like Norway have really proven it in the game. So I'm going to say Spain, Scotland, Norway, Georgia, and Cyprus, actually, just like the pot order, although I think that middle three battle could be pretty exciting.
All right.
All right, well, we move on to the last section of the thing. And as I just said, I don't know the results. I've been kind of saving myself in order to do this podcast. So I'm excited to kind of predict and then see how my predictions turned out. What do we got?
So the first game is Scotland at home to Cyprus. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, again, I think there have been times where Cyprus could pull a surprise, especially when Scotland is at a weak point. But I think Scotland's in a good place and Cyprus are on the wane. So I'd have to say 2-0 for Scotland there.
Yeah, it was a Scottish win, 3-0 the final. Two of the goals came late, so the Cypriots kind of hung around. But the scoreline in the end is what Scotland were looking for.
Yeah, well, good for Scotland there. We also have Spain and Norway. So again, I mean, honestly, if Erling Haaland was playing, and I know he wasn't, I might increase Norway's odds. But yeah, I would never say that Spain is going to lose or even drop points at home in a situation like this. So I'm going to say 2-0 Spain.
Once again, it was 3-0. And in a similar pattern, Spain took a first half lead kind of deep into the game when two quick goals in 84 and 85 made sure of the points. But 3-0 Spain over Norway. So Norway, not as competitive as they probably would have liked to be in that one.
Right. Okay, well, then we move on to the second set of games there a few days later. And we have Georgia in Norway. Now, this to me is a really interesting game because I think Georgia is really troublesome at home, and I think actually this may dictate Norway's campaign. I'm going to call this I'm going to go bold and say not only a tie but a 2-1 win for Georgia.
You were a little bold but not too much. It was a draw, 1-1 between Georgia and Norway. So drop points for Norway in Georgia, like you said. Not an easy place for teams to go, and it proved so again.
That's right. And, you know, if Scotland do win in Georgia, and they've lost in their only two games that they've ever played in Georgia, but if Scotland win there, give them a big leg up in that group. But meanwhile, we have the last game, Scotland versus Spain. So Spain are not as imperious on the road, and Scotland seem to be in good form. I could see Scotland getting a low-scoring draw here. And, you know, logically, I would edge towards Spain. But again, I'm going to be bold and say 1-1.
In this case, you could have been bolder. It was a historic and famous result for Scotland, a 2-0 win over Spain. That combined with Norway's draw puts them in really good shape in this group.
Yeah, maybe you can finish by taking us through the table, but I'm very excited by that result because I'm always more interested in a group being close than a team running away with it. So that may drag Spain down into the thick of it here.
Well, I give you credit for your picks. Some people might have objectively just assumed no easy wins for Norway and Spain, but you suspected that wouldn't be the case, and indeed it wasn't.
Cool.
So after two games played, Scotland have 6 points, Spain 3 points, and Norway just one. So a 5-point gap Scotland have over Norway already. Georgia have a single point from their one game played, and Cyprus one game played and no points.
All right. Well, does that change your outlook on the group at all?
I was thinking Norway ahead of Scotland, and you know, I'd like to see a Erling Haaland Odegaard combo in a tournament, but this is a really rough start, and honestly, I'm not sure if Norway can recover. It's not out of the question. Obviously, Norway and Scotland have to play themselves, but that win against Spain gives Scotland a huge advantage, especially because I already thought it would be pretty close.
Yeah, well, the trends that we pointed out here, like Scotland on an upward trend, Georgia on an upward trend, and Norway, you know, having promise in the squad but not really showing it, that seems to be continuing.
Yeah. And I do think Georgia will be competitive, as we said. You know, they have one, you know, them and Norway tied. I expect Norway would finish ahead of Georgia in the long run. But, yeah, I think Georgia, you know, have shown they're capable of getting points, and I think they'll do it again.
All right. Do you have the next set of games in front of you?
The next game is crucial. Norway hosts Scotland.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. What do you think?
If Erling Haaland's playing in Norway at home, I'm going to say Norway do beat Scotland just to make the group extra interesting. What about
you? Okay. I think I'll call a 1-1 tie for that based on form. But as you say, they didn't have Haaland for these games. So maybe they would have the edge. But I'm going to go bold with a 1-1 draw there.
All right. And on top of that, Cyprus play Georgia in the next round of games. Spain sit out.
Okay, well, that could be a tie if it's in Cyprus.
Georgia will hope not. They can build on their early momentum.
Yeah, I would say 1-1 favoring Georgia there.
All right.
How about you?
I'm going to say Georgia get the job done and win 2-0.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our Group A, and again, stay tuned for information on our other podcast series. But great talking to you about this, Connor.
Thanks so much. See you next time.
See you. All right, we'll finish the podcast today with a look back on what we have covered until now, with a particular focus on which media casts are still relevant. Prior to that, we're going to look at what is upcoming over the rest of the year, because I think that may be of more interest. So we'll put a graphic up with all of this information, both past, current, and present, on the YouTube version, and we'll also include it in the show notes. So let's take a look at upcoming series. So right now we're on series 14. And I'll give a bit more information about that too. But Series 15 will be a shorter version of Series 14, the 2024 Euro qualifying series. So rather than the detailed history, it'll have a short summary of each team in the group and a section on their recent form. So from there, part 3 of Series 14 will be the same in both the short and long series. That's a comparison of teams through rankings, odds, and head-to-head records, as well as Kevin O'Connor's discussion, and ending with a review of the first two sets of games that were played in March 2023. After this Euro 2024 qualifying, 16 and 17, series 16 and 17, will be a preview of the 2023 Gold Cup, That tournament is set to start on June 24th, 2023. So we plan to put out those podcasts or those media casts in late May or early June. So Series 16 will focus on the groups and teams, and Series 17 will focus on the players of each team. Qualification is actually taking place through the CONCACAF Nations League currently, but we don't intend to do a series on qualification for the CONCACAF Gold Cup there. During the summer, we are planning a series on CONMEBOL, that's South American World Cup 2026 qualifying. That begins in September 2023. We also may get an early start on Asian Cup 2023, although that's due to start later in January 2024. In the fall, we're going to preview the early rounds of AFC World Cup 2026 qualifying. That'll take place in October and November, so we'll do it prior to that. And this will actually give us a first look at some of the weaker teams in the Asian region, which we haven't covered yet. Also, we will preview the 2023 African Cup. It is called that, even though it's due to start in January 2024. So those are the upcoming series, and now let's take a look at our current series, so the current media cast. We call it a media cast because it's available with visuals on YouTube, and it's available as a podcast, and you can find it on most podcast catchers or on our website at soccerfiles.captivate.fm. We'll also put up a graphic with that on it. So the current series is Series 14, and that's a preview of the groups in Euro 2024 qualifying. And this gives us a chance to get to know teams that don't often make it to the tournaments. So it features a deep dive into the Euro Cup qualifying histories of the team. And we started actually after the first round of games in March 2023 to make it a bit more interesting. So as mentioned, we'll follow that with Series 15. That's a shortened version of Euro 2024 qualifying, because some members of the audience don't want such a deep dive. Now, let's look back at our previous media cast series. I think they're still relevant to various degrees. And, well, they tend to be relevant in reverse order. So we'll actually kind of go backwards in time here. So Series 10 to 13 were all based on the 2022 World Cup. Series 10 was an eight-part group-by-group preview of the 14 groups in the tournament. It featured a deep dive into the World Cup finals history of each team. Series 11 was a 32-part team-by-team preview of players in World Cup 2022. So we didn't know at the time which players would be selected, so we went through the candidates for each position and gave information about them. So that'll still be relevant for a lot of the teams. Series 12 actually featured shortened versions of each of Series 10 and 11, so a shorter version on the teams and on the players. And then Series 13 was a 25-part review or update of the team-by-team players podcast. And it was published after the teams had selected their squads for the finals. So it went through the candidates that we had discussed in Series 11 and introduced any new players that made it to the final squad. Unfortunately, we ran out of time before finishing all 32 teams. And I particularly regret that in the case of Ghana, because they brought a lot of new players in that were not considered in our Series 11 preview of the Ghana players. Anyway, these World Cup podcasts, especially the player ones, are still relevant because the squads haven't changed that much. We will be doing future player podcasts before each major tournament. So going back before that, Series 9 is actually probably the most relevant. It was a 12-part preview of the African Cup 2023 qualifying groups. It's still called African Cup 2023. It was originally set to take place that year, or this year, I should say, but now it's been moved to January 2024. So qualification games were also postponed, and the qualification is still unfinished. So, as I said, that makes it still quite relevant. Series 7 and 8 were both based on the 2021 African Cup, which took place in January 2022. That's good for a look at some of the smaller African teams who made it to the expanded cup. Series 7 was a six-part overview of the teams in African Cup 2022. It's confusing. It's still called African Cup 2021, but it took place in January 2022. While the overviews were repeated in Series 9, this did feature a deep dive into the African Cup finals history of the participant. Series 8 was a 24-part team-by-team preview of the players for the African Cup. For the African teams that made the 2022 World Cup, the player podcasts will be updated, but for the smaller teams, they won't be. So for many teams, it remains the most relevant. And it has soccer information that doesn't seem to exist in other media accounts, as far as I know. Okay, I'm moving back. Before that, Series 4 and 6 focused on the CONCACAF regions, specifically the 18 final round of qualifying for the 2022 World Cup. Series 4 was an eight-part look at each team and their players in the final round, and it featured a deep dive into each team's World Cup qualification history. It also had a team-by-team preview of the players in CONCACAF there. It really should have been a separate series number, to be honest, but nevertheless, the current players on the squad were examined for each of the eight teams. Series 6 was a mid-round update of that CONCACAF 2022 World Cup qualifying campaign. So Series 4 and 6 kind of go together. Okay, Series 5, that's in between the two CONCACAF series, was a preview of the Asian World Cup qualifying final round. So this was just a two-part series on each of the 16 groups that made it to the final round of World Cup qualifying in the Asian region. So this remains relevant for all Asian teams that didn't reach the World Cup, but for Iran, Japan, South Korea, and Saudi Arabia, Series 10 in their World Cup introduction is more current. Series 3 was a four-part preview for the groups for Gold Cup 2021 in the CONCACAF region, and this remains relevant for some of the smaller teams in the tournament, but again, those who participated in the World Cup were updated after that. Series 2 was a two-part preview of the groups for Copa America 2021 in the South American region. So that again remains relevant for the smaller teams in the region, but the teams that made the World Cup were updated in Series 10. And our first series was a preview of the 2020 Euro Cup played in 2021. Again, teams that reached the 2022 World Cup were updated there. And it did feature a deep dive into Euro Cup finals history. So, again, for the smaller teams that we haven't covered since, it remains relevant. Okay, I think that brings us to the end. So keep your eye out for the graphics on the show notes or on the YouTube. And I hope you join us for the upcoming series and even go back and review some of the old series until we update them again. Bye-bye.